This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
How would you feel if our government declared that you were only allowed to have one child? What if you fell pregnant accidentally? What would you do then? That's the situation that thousands of women find themselves confronted with in China, where the one-child policy continues to be enforced. Reggie Littlejohn is the president of Women's Rights Without Frontiers, an organisation campaigning for women's rights in China. Hi, Reggie.
Hello, Katrina. How are you?
Ah, I'm well, thank you. This is a big topic we're talking about today. How did you sort of first become interested and involved in the impacts of China's one-child policy?
I'm a litigation attorney, and I represented a refugee from China for her case for political asylum in the United States in the mid-90s, and she was forcibly sterilized. And her situation just opened my eyes to this whole world of forced abortion, forced sterilization, and even infanticide in the implementation of China's one-child policy.
Yeah, so how does China enforce this? If a woman finds herself pregnant when she's not supposed to be, then what happens?
Well, first of all, in China, you have to have a birth permit to get pregnant. Mm. So if you do not have a birth permit, any number of things can happen to you, and different things happen in different areas of the country. In one area of the country, you might be severely fined, and these fines can be up to 10 times a person's annual salary. So 99% of the people cannot afford to pay these fines. What will happen is if you can't pay the fine, you will be subject to forced abortion. Oh. And what I mean by forced abortion is that women are literally dragged out of their homes, crying and pleading and strapped down to tables and forced to abort babies that they want up to the 9th month of pregnancy. And these abortions can be so violent that the women themselves die along with their babies.
You said up to the 9th month of pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you abort a child up to the 9th month of pregnancy?
There was a really tragic video that was taken actually by Al Jazeera in the fall of 2010, pretty recently, and that's on my website, where they videotaped a woman who was forcibly aborted at 8 months. And what they did is her husband described the situation. They took her, they banged her head against a wall, they beat her up. You could see her in the hospital. She had a huge bruise on her arm. They threw her in a jail cell, and they showed a picture of the jail cell in that video. They put a big needle and stuck it into the head of her baby inside and killed it. And then I guess what happens is you go through labor as though you're having a baby, but the baby that you deliver is dead.
Sounds like just, awfully traumatic. I mean, recently you had a visit from the Chinese president, Hu Jintao, there, and he said that the one-child policy is voluntary. But you obviously do have a lot of evidence that this sort of stuff is going on.
Yeah, he said that there's no forced abortion policy, and he said that to one of our congressional representatives, which I think is a demonstrably false statement. That videotape from Al Jazeera is a demonstration to the contrary, and also I have information that is leaked out of China directly to me of women who have had forced abortions. One of the documents that was leaked out, which I presented to Congress in a hearing in 2009, has to do with official practice of infanticide as well. And this was a web-based discussion among Chinese OBGYNs on the official Chinese website for obstetricians and gynecologists. And the email thread was, what if the infant is being born alive after an induced labor-forced abortion, and these doctors are discussing technically how one kills these babies that are being born alive after induced or during induced labor forced abortions.
So how widespread or common is this, and what areas of China does this sort of thing go on? Is it happening, in the big cities? Are we talking out in rural areas, or how widespread is it?
I think that it's extremely widespread. I think the Al Jazeera clip happened in a major city. It also happens in the countryside. There are different areas that are where it's enforced more forcibly than others. And there are people who will come back from China and say, well, I don't think forced abortion exists because where I went, there were all people with several children, et cetera. And that could be for two reasons. Number one, maybe those people were wealthy and were able to buy their way out of the policy, which is something that causes a lot of resentment on behalf of the 99% of the people who can't buy their way out of the policy. Or in that area, it might be more relaxed. But there are vast areas where it is not relaxed and where forced abortion, forced sterilization, and infanticide are a reality of life.
Is there any sort of indication of the numbers at which this could be going on at?
Well, the Chinese Communist Party itself states that it has, quote-unquote, prevented 400 million births since the inception of the one-child policy over 30 years ago. And they also reported that they had about 13 million abortions last year. That's 35,000 a day. They also reported that most of those abortions were for unwed mothers. And in China, it is illegal to have a baby if you are not married. And you can't buy your way out of that. However, many of those young women who got pregnant before they got married would have wanted to have those children. All of those would have been, you know, abortion for those women.
Sure. I'm talking to Reggie Littlejohn. She's the president of Women's Rights Without Frontiers. We're talking about China's one child policy and some of the, I guess, ugly consequences of that. The other side of this, of course, is the abandonment of babies. And we particularly here seem to hear about girl babies being left out to die because of this strong pressure to have a boy. Is that something that's still going on as well?
Yes, that's called gendercide, the sex selective killing of baby girls, whether it's by abortion or infanticide or just letting them die of exposure. That comes not under the forced abortion, but more under elective abortion, and it's very, very rampant in the countryside, because in the countryside, there are areas where people can have two children if their first child is a girl. They can try to have a boy. And what demographers have found is that for that first baby, the numbers are about normal between boys and girls. But for the second baby, where the first baby is a girl, the numbers shoot up, and there are six different provinces in China where there are 160 boys born for every 100 girls born. And virtually all of that sex or gender discrepancy has to do with sex-selective abortion. People have an ultrasound and see that it's a girl and choose to abort it. And that situation has led to the fact that there are approximately 37 million more men than women living in China today. And that, in turn, is driving human trafficking and sexual slavery, not only in China, but in the surrounding countries.
So what drives the pressure to have a boy? Is it because they need boys to work the farm, or is there some sort of thing about the family line going on?
It's both. It's both. Yeah. And then the third thing is that in traditional Chinese culture, the boy is the one that takes care of the parents in their old age. So when they get married, the girl traditionally goes over to the boy's family. Mm-hmm. And there's even a saying in China that by raising a girl, you are watering somebody else's garden. People feel that with no Social Security or any other official plan to take care of the elderly, that they absolutely must have a boy or they will face economic catastrophe in their old age.
I mean, this one-child policy, it came about because China needed to limit its population growth in some way. Is there still a need for that? Is there still a need to stop population growth in China?
Well, I would say that China's biggest demographic problems are not population explosion, but rather that they don't have enough population, number one, of girls, as we've discussed. And then number two, they do not have the young working population they need to sustain the older population. Mm. When the one-child policy was instituted, the average number of children per woman, it was something like six, because Chairman Mao had said that a strong population makes a strong China. Well, those people now are aging, and so they've got this senior tsunami that's about to take them over, and they don't have any plan that I'm aware of to really handle it.
One-child policy activist Chen Guangchen has been someone that's spoken up against this one-child policy, isn't it? What's happened to him lately?
Well, Chen Guangchen is a national and even an international hero. He is absolutely the bravest person I've ever heard of, because he's blind, he has no resources of his own, and yet he managed to single-handedly expose the fact that there were 130,000 forced abortions and forced sterilizations in Linyi County, just one county in China in 2005. Mm. And since that time, he served a 4-year, 3-month jail sentence. He was tortured in jail, denied medical treatment. He was finally released in September of 2010. He's been under strict house arrest. Nobody's heard anything from him. His house is surrounded by 66 security police, 22 and going in three different shifts, morning, evening, and all night. And then finally, there was a video that was leaked of him last week, the first word coming out of him. And when that video came out, the Chinese Communist Party sent in their cadres and beat him and his wife senseless. They were left on their beds. They were unable to go to the hospital, and there's been no word that's been released about them since, so we don't really know what has happened to them or what condition they're in. We're very concerned.
Oh, you would be. So he's totally cut off, no phone, no computer, no way of communicating with the outside world.
Right. Yeah. And in fact, the whole village has their cell phone signals scrambled. And the whole village is intimidated. People try to visit Chengguanchen. They get turned away. They get beaten up. You go to the village, reports say, and you say his name, and people just look down, shake their heads, and walk away. Nobody's willing even to talk about him because they're all so afraid.
Mm. I mean, it makes sense why people would be scared to speak in China, but why has the West been so quiet on this issue? Why don't we hear more about it?
You know something, Katrina, I don't know. I am being as loud as I can be on this, and I really appreciate your picking up on the issue and bringing it to the attention of Australia. We need more people. We need a worldwide movement to free Chengguanchen, and I've got a petition on my website. This is womensrightswithoutfrontiers.org. You can go on there, and you can click on the Chengguanchen button, and at the bottom of the article that I've written about him, you can sign a petition saying that we demand that he be freed and that he be, you know, given the medical attention that he needs.
Okay. All right. And so it's at womensrightswithoutfrontiers.org, which is your organization's website.
Yeah.
And that's probably a good starting point for people who want to find out a little bit more about this issue.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Reggie, for telling us a bit about it.
Well, thank you for having me, Katrina. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
All the best in your struggle. Reggie Littlejohn, she's the president of Women's Rights Without Frontiers.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.